What a day that we've been celebrating all that God has been doing, like I said, across the country through you guys. But I believe that we left last week with everybody coming together and either you were praying for students that were going or you were actually going, right? We saw and we understand that we all have a role to play in the body of Christ. All of us have a job and a role, whether it's supporting in prayer or whether it's actually going. We all have something to do. And so whether or not you went on a trip this week, you contributed through your prayer and you were playing your role in the body of Christ. And so never feel like you didn't accomplish something by not going. But I hope that hearing these stories spurs you on and drives you to go and to serve and to share the gospel everywhere you go and in everything that you do. We always want to, on our time together on Sunday mornings, open up the Word of God together, and that's what we're going to do. If you have your Bibles, go to Romans 12 really quick. Go to Romans 12, and we're kind of having a special celebration day about what God did on our mission trips, and all the other services are talking, they're staying in Matthew, and talking about Matthew 24, and I'll mention that at the end. But in Boston this week, we walked through Romans 12, and I think it's such a beautiful passage that speaks to us, and we always want to open up the Word of God together because Jesus tells us that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from God, and we need to let the Word speak for itself. So I'm not gonna talk for very long, but I'm gonna let the Word speak for itself because when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Right, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. This is God speaking to us. Right, this is how He's chosen to reveal Himself to us through His Word. And so we're going to read Romans 12 verses 1 through 13, and let God speak to you. Understand really what this is, and let God speak. Paul writes in verse 1, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is wrong. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is God's word. This is God speaking. And Paul starts out in verse 1 and he tells us to, by the mercies of God, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. By the mercies of God. What are these mercies of God that Paul's talking about? And if you look back across the last the couple chapters before in Romans, he's talking about the mercy that's been shown to us by God through Christ. Right, the fact that God sent his son to save sinners, that mercy that he's shown to us, it's nothing that we did apart. It's apart from no work of our own, right? God's shown us complete mercy in what he did through Christ. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and he made us alive in Christ. That is us. That is our story if you are a believer in Christ this morning. Now, because of this, because of that mercy that God's shown us, we are to, in response, present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, when you think of the word sacrifice, sacrifice is something that's dead. Right, a sacrifice is something that has been given. It's given its life for another. This is a sacrifice, but we're called here to be a living sacrifice. It seems to maybe be contradictory, but when you think about what God has done by the mercy that he's shown us, by making us alive, we are now a living sacrifice. Our lives are meant to be lived for God. Now, how do we do that? Right? Well, verse 2, it says, don't conform to this world. Don't do what the world does. Don't just go along with the culture. We need to be transformed, right? We need to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We need the mind of Christ. We need to think, and we need to be countercultural in everything that we do. Our mind must be transformed by understanding the mercy and the grace of God. We need to know what God says. We need to let the gospel change the way that we think about everything that we do. Right? We need to approach every situation, everything in life with the gospel lens. Right? We need to see everything through the lens of what Christ has done for us. Right? That is at the core and the center of everything that we do and everything that we believe. And when we get that right, when we are not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewal of our minds, I believe that naturally we are going to, as the word says, we are going to not count others, or I'm sorry, we are going to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Right? We see in the text here that we need to be humble. Right, we need to, and if you understand this, if you understand the mercy of God, if you understand what God has done for you in Christ, and it was nothing that you did, that's going to be the natural response. Right, you are going to not count yourself more highly than anybody else because you're not better than anybody else. You didn't do anything to deserve the mercy of God. There was no work that you did to earn your salvation, and when you truly understand that, when you really grasp that, that is going to drive you to your knees in worship, and it's going to humble you because you realize that you're no better than anybody else. And sometimes we can maybe miss this a little bit when we think about mission trips, right? We think that we're going to give them something that they don't have. And that is true, right? We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to serve these people, and our eyes can be open. But what we don't want to happen is for us to think that we're better than anybody else, right? And that's not the case. And when you truly understand the mercy of God and what he's done for you in Christ, you realize, I can't think of myself more highly than anybody else because I am no better than anybody else because of what God has done. And when we get it wrong, then we're not going to do this next step. When we get this wrong, when we start to think of ourselves more highly than others, then we're not going to do what verse 9 says. Our love is not going to be genuine. Right? Paul calls us to let love be genuine, be real. And when we are submitting and living our lives as a living sacrifice, and when we're not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, that is when our love is going to be genuine. That's when we're going to be real. Right? Another version of the Bible that I read says, let love be without hypocrisy. Right? I know that nobody in here knows anybody that you would say it isn't genuine. Right? That can't be something that we as teenagers and adults deal with, right? There's nobody that we know that we would say is not genuine in their faith, right? I'm being sarcastic, right? That we know that is something that everybody struggles with. And here, whenever we understand, I hope you get this, whenever we understand the mercy that God has shown us in Christ, and whenever we humble ourselves and present ourselves as a living sacrifice, we are going to love each other in a genuine way. It's going to be genuine. We're going to love one another with brotherly affection. One of my favorite things that happens on mission trips, I'm going to be quick, I promise. One of my favorite things that happens on mission trips is yes, it's the experiences that we have. It's the things that we see. It's the places that we go. It's the work that we do. But one of the best things that happens, probably the best thing, is the bonding that happens within our teams. Right, it's the relationships that we have within each other. It's the community that's built, and therefore the way that we love one another spills out upon the rest of the group and all the trips, and then we come back together as a group and as a church as a whole, and there's just a tremendous amount of love because of the way that we love one another. Right, our love has to be genuine, and we have to love one another with brotherly affection and to outdo one another in showing honor, right? It's not you do this for me and I'll do this for you. It's not a transactional relationship, right? It is taking the first step. It is showing honor. It is serving your brother and your sister in Christ, not because they deserve it, but because of what God has done for you. You outdo one another in showing honor. The way that we love one another changes everything. And in John 13:35, I shared this with our group the other night, that Jesus says that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. So first, we have to love one another with a brotherly affection. We have to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ first. And that is how the world is going to know that we are disciples of Christ. Right, we have to love one another, outdo one another in showing honor. And this goes back to not thinking of ourselves more highly than we should. Right? This goes back to being humble, because when we think that we're better than we actually are, then we're not going to serve one another. We're not going to love one another. And it's not going to be genuine. So let love be genuine. Love one another, outdo one another in showing honor. And then that last bit in verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints. Right, meet the needs of the saints. And biblically, a saint is anybody who is in Christ. You are the called out ones. You are set apart. If you believe in Christ this morning, you are a saint. And we are supposed to seek to meet the needs of the saints. And that's what we did all across the country this week. We met the needs of the saints in different areas, in different portions. And we supported the local ministries of the churches. And that was incredible. And we shared the gospel. So good job. Whether you were here supporting in prayer and you were on mission here at home or you went somewhere, way to go. Good job, but it's not over. It's just starting. Right? When you leave the campus every Sunday, you see that you are now entering your mission field, right? It's kind of a cheesy little sign. Don't tell Pastor Fleming I said that. It's kind of cheesy, but it's true. Right? It's true that every time we leave this building, every time we leave this campus, you are entering your mission field. And there is no better, we have the momentum and the joy of what God has done to take us and drive us out to go and to share and tell people and love people every day, everywhere we go, what God has done. We are called to make disciples. Right, we are called to make disciples everywhere we go as we are going. So we did something this week. If you went on mission trip, you went and you did something. But let's take that, let's bring it back home and live it out and join us. Right, Matthew 24, what everybody else is going to be talking about, the main point is that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. That is a truth. That is a reality that we can put our hope in, right? And as a result, because Jesus is coming back and because of what God has done through Christ, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. So in everything that you do, everywhere that you go, let your life be a living sacrifice to God because of what Jesus has done for you. Let him find you, whether he returns today or in 1,000 years, not in your lifetime, but live your life as if he is coming back and be ready because he is, and let him find you a living sacrifice to him.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.